Good morning, OA family, and welcome all to the 7 a.m. Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Tuesday, May 13, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 97, the first paragraph, Never Avoid These Responsibilities. Through that one paragraph that ends in, occasionally you will have to meet such conditions, unpacking that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you so much to Team Tuesday, Craig F., Alana P., Lynn F., our 12-step Joni C., Traditions, Michelle J., the newcomer, greeter, Colleen M., and the host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Christine G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, May 12, 2025, are, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 22,423, that's 22423, and for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,424. That's 22424. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Joni C. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joni C. I will now ask for Michelle J. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Hey, family. Michelle J. The 12
Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare comes first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. The leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Each OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, we say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We are on page 97, the first paragraph, and I am going to ask Craig F. to begin reading. Please go ahead, Craig.
Thank you very much, Amy, for your service. This is Craig F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Never avoid these responsibilities. Be sure you're doing the right thing if you assume them. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act the Good Samaritan every day, if need be. It may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, great interference with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. It may mean sharing your money and your house, counseling frantic wives and relatives, innumerable trips to police courts, sanitariums, hospitals, jails, and asylums. Your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Your wife may sometimes say she is neglected. A drunk may smash the furniture in your home or burn a mattress. You may have to fight with him if he is violent. Sometimes you will have to call a doctor and administer sedatives under his direction. Another time you may have to send for the police or an ambulance. Occasionally you will have to meet such conditions. All right. Well, if you'll start my time, this is still Craig F. And, you know, Some of this seems pretty extreme to us today. I can't say that I've had anybody burn a mattress or smash furniture, but the principle is there. You know, the principle of that I'm willing to go to any lengths to help a newcomer that needs to be helped. And why is that? You know, it's because I have to do it for my own recovery. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery, was the second paragraph or second sentence in that paragraph. Helping others is the, you know, back on page 85, just a few pages back, we read the line that said that what we have is what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And how do we maintain our spiritual condition? Then we go clear back to page 14 and 15, and we're told how to maintain our spiritual condition. On the bottom of 14, last line, it says, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. So work and self-sacrifice for others is how I enlarge my spiritual life in order to survive the low spots ahead in life that are going to certainly be there. Then working with others is how I maintain my spiritual condition. It doesn't say that I maintain my spiritual condition by prayer and meditation. All those are good. It doesn't say I maintain my spiritual condition by journaling, although people get a lot out of that. It says I get it by work and self-sacrifice for others. So I have to be ready to do it in a sacrificial manner, which means if somebody calls me at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, wakes me up out of my sleep because they're in a crisis, I need to be ready to take that call. I need to be as ready as I can to show them the love and concern and compassion that was shown to me in order to help me get recovered. If somebody disturbs me at work, I can get short sometimes. I'm under pressure. There are certain times I can't be bothered. I need to be ready, if at all possible, to pull myself aside and say, I'm here. I'm here to hold your hand. I'm here to show you the love and compassion that God has shown me. And because if I don't do that, if I'm not doing that, I'm not maintaining that spiritual condition that is the basis of my recovery. So it'll be easy to react, to overreact to some of this, as being a little extreme, but I still have, I need to be ready to go to any lengths. I need to be judicial about it. I don't need to give a con artist money. Somebody's just trying to con me, but then again, I need to maybe take a chance, take a risk on somebody, be a beacon of recovery, and to be a demonstration of God's compassion in my life into their life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Craig F., for getting us started. So now we're going to take names of those who would like to share on what was read. Just a friendly reminder, although we value your experience, strength, and hope, we want to share the air. So if you have spoken on this meeting or any Vision for You meeting in the last 2 days, meaning Monday or Friday, we ask that you please step aside so others can share their experience, strength, and hope. Okay, who would like to share what was read?
Pedro B.
Larry T. Katie from
Larry
Tennessee, from Boston.
Larry K.
Rivka R.
Katie G.
Okay, got Pedro, Larry, Katie G.
Lee H.
Did you get Rivka R?
Rivka, thank you. No.
And Sarah T.
Sarah T. Did I get everybody now? I have Pedro, Larry K, Katie G, Lee H, Rivka R, Sarah T.
Nicole S.
Anyone else? Nicole? Nicole F. Anyone else? Oh. All right, we got a great lineup here. Pedro B, Larry K, Katie G, VH, Rivka R, Sarah T, and Nicole F. All right, Pedro, you're up, my friend.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, very well.
Thank you. My name is Pedro B. I am a compulsive overeater. I'm very happy to be here. Restarted my time on May 1st. So I'm working on day 13 of consecutive abstinence, one day at a time. I'm very happy, very excited about the benefits I'm getting, physical, emotional, spiritual. And the one sentence that jumped out of me this morning is that one: helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. And in other words, helping others is the foundation stone of my recovery. This is what I'm trying to do. And personally, one of my sponsors had me look up the word recovery. And the definition that I found was return to good health. So what I'm trying to do here is get healthy in all areas of my life, right? So that's why I need to do this thing. That's why I need to help others. If I want to be happy, joyous, and free, right? Just like for me, that is God's will for me. I'm sure God wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. So that's God's will for me. So I should do everything to align myself to that God's will. Anyways. So helping others, that's something that perhaps is being lacking, because my problem as a compulsive overeater is my experience has been my inability to stay stopped. I can stop overeating for a minute, 15 seconds, a day, a month, 3 months, but to stay stopped, that's been my problem. So I am seeking for this power that can do this, what I cannot do for me. So in other words, I am powerless overeating. If I was not powerless, it would have been easy for me to stay. I am powerless. So I'm looking for another power greater than myself, because obviously I have not been able to do the job. The other word that jumped out at me is responsibility. That's a lot of syllables there. Responsibility. There's a lot of things that I'm responsible for. Right? Because, you know, I had a friend that used to say, oh, yeah, no, Do I have to do? Oh, no, I don't want. I want God to come and give it to me, you know. And the thing is that, you know, God has the power to move mountains, but I cannot forget the pick and the shovel. There's work to be done. Without the work, there's no reward. You know, cause and effect is a work deep down in my life, you know. In order to get this, I'm going to have to do that. But anyways, I am grateful. I am happy to be here, excited to be abstinent, and looking forward to helping others. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Pedro B. Okay, up next, Larry K, followed by KG. All right, Larry, you're up.
Hey, Amy. Good morning. Larry K, recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. So, yeah, I'll stick with this theme. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. You know, generativity, a contribution to others is for me is part of feeling fully myself. And honestly, without it, I can't be wholly fulfilled or at peace. And what I found is that to reap the benefits of helping others, I don't need to save the world, you know. I just have to improve my little corner of it. And by improving my tiny corner of the universe through everything I touch, as best I can, I have the opportunity to pull people from the depths of this living hell with God's help. So for me, purely from a spiritual perspective, it's like a divine restorative mechanism. It's a search and rescue mission. Whenever I comfort, support, or console another human being, you know, regardless of whether they follow through the work, regardless if they even appreciate the gesture, my intention of having empathy for them is the catalyst for God's healing. You know, if God hasn't designed to use me, why the hell am I here? And he'll help me to be discerning on how to help, who to help, and so forth. And actually, what I'd suggest is that God uses wounded people like me and you to help restore other wounded people. It's a miraculous design for restoration. And one of the metaphors that I like to use is of the skilled artisan. You know, God gives us the ability to reshape broken clay into beautiful pottery. It's like we turn our own scars into the tools for mending others. And God does all this. And while we don't do the mending, that's the work of God or our higher power, we certainly become like bridges. You know, we connect islands of suffering and we allow others to cross the bridge to freedom. It's like a quilt of a fragments of tattered fabric. You know, we stitch our stories together. I hear Amy's story, I hear your story. We create a blanket of shared experience. Common problem, spiritual malady, common solution, a spiritual awakening. And if I claim to be recovered, then you know that, you know, that you know, it's, I've really come to appreciate the power of the first 11 steps. Well, I'm going to take it upon myself to give it away. And when I'm not helping others, I will invariably slide. I've seen that. I will eat again. It's a certainty. It's like a ticking time bomb. I have to try to help others. The bomb's ticking, and I just have to keep moving forward. God will help me to do that. He'll show me the way. With that, I pass. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much, Larry K. All right, Katie G., your turn, followed by Lee H. Grab the mic, girl.
Hey, Amy. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. So the whole point of these 12 steps is to get a relationship with God, right? So why are we talking about helping others? Well, in my understanding, in order to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and those around me, that's my job. Like, I'm one of God's kids today. When I first came into the rooms almost 20 years ago, I was selfish, self-centered, dishonest, and afraid. And I was so glad that you guys had to sponsor me. Someone's unmuted. I was so glad that you guys had to help me, that was, you know, the keystone, the foundation, the basis of your whole life, because it meant that you were going to focus on what I thought that was the most important thing in the room, which was me, right? And today, thanks be to God, I know that the most important thing I practice every day is death of self for successful living. I need to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and those around me. So what does that mean? God, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say, and to whom? And someone's still unmuted. You know, for me, my perfect number of sponsees is absolutely zero. I don't want to help other people. I really don't. And I'm recovered, and I can say that on the line, and I can tell you I think that this paragraph is beautiful and amazing, and I would love to tell you amazing stories about the lengths that I've gone to help others. I don't have a lot of sexy stories, but I have a lot of stories about women that I have gone to any lengths to help. They haven't been dramatic, but I do have a daily structured way of making sure I'm helping others. On awakening, let me think about the 24 hours ahead. I pray to God, God, how can I be of service to others? I am absolutely mandated in my relationship with God to sponsor others. I'll tell you what, our former fellow used to say, don't be afraid of sponsoring, be afraid of not sponsoring. And I'm afraid of not sponsoring today. You know, thanks be to God, I get to help others get a relationship with God and not be in their active addiction today. And I go through the day, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And at the same time, you know what, there are other humans that need me. It is not okay for me to do service the detriment of my family. If I'm sponsoring you in the morning and my kids wake up, you know it, because I'm also talking to my kids. Why? Because my job is to fit myself to give maximum service to God and to those around me today, right? And that means that I'm also sponsoring, I'm also working closely with my family, and I'm playing the role that God has assigned me today. So thanks be to God, you know, I get to show up to this amazing life each and every day with a relationship with God and with all of you, and that is what I lay my foundation on every day. Thanks, Amy. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Katie G. Okay, Lee H., you're up, followed by Rivka R.
Thank you so much, Amy G. This is Lee H. in Tennessee, recovered gratefully. Goodness, the shares have been incredible this morning. The sentence that kind of jumped out at me was, your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. You know, a few years ago, if you had told me that that's what I would be involved in, I would have laughed, because I was so selfish coming into this program. It's funny, because helping others was such a, you know, I felt like I was always helping others, but there was always a little string attached to it, something that I expected back from you. And so I'm really thankful that, you know, the miracle of abstinence, I mean, it is a miracle, and I'm so grateful today for abstinence. But another real miracle is that I am helping others unselfishly today. It's just such a blessing to receive calls, and if I get a call and I can't answer it, I'm committed more and more. I will call you back. I just know that when I made calls and when someone was there for me, I just felt like I had been rescued. You know, that life preserver had been extended to me, and I'm just so compelled to want to do it now. And it's just been such a blessing. It really has. I love helping others, and I would have never thought that that had anything to do with my spiritual condition, but it really does. That connection, I just believe my higher power made me with a need to connect, not only with him, but with other people, and especially helping other people. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Lee H. We now have Rivka R., followed by Sarah T. Go ahead, Rivka.
Thanks so much, Amy. Good morning, everybody. And thank you all for the wonderful shares. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore, Maryland. Yeah, that line, helping others, is the foundation stone of our recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. So I have a big yikes with an exclamation mark written in the margin of my big book next to these lines. Like, this is one of the things that that terrified me when I first read it, because I don't like to be uncomfortable. So here's the thing. Like, can I trust that God will lead me to the right and good thing for me? Like, not in comparison to others, but what's right for me? And it's hard to tell sometimes when it's self, you know, an ego, and when it's God's will. Like, you know, a few decades ago when my kids were young, there was a time I had 11 sponsees, and that wasn't self-sacrifice for others. That was nuts, and it was self-serving. Like, I wanted to save everyone, and, you know, it was also a lot easier dealing with my sponsees who wanted to hear what I had to say to them than dealing with my kids who didn't want to hear what I had to say to them. You know, and it caused a lot of resentment in my family, and I eventually relapsed. So the only question I need to ask is, what would God have me do? And not, you know, compare myself to others. I was always comparing myself to others. You know, this one gets up so early, and that person does more service, and that one does more 10 steps, and these people are thinner. And, you know, but to compare is to despair. Like, I really just have to ask, have I put myself in God's hands today? And sometimes that can mean just smiling at someone and not being impatient. Like, that's a whole attitude change. And I'm not, you know, thank God I'm not being asked to make innumerable trips to courts and hospitals and jails, and no one's ever been violent and broken my furniture, you know, and I need my sleep, so I don't keep my phone in the bedroom in case, you know, a desperate compulsive overeater needs to talk, you know, truthfully. You know, I'm grateful that's not part of my journey, you know, and I have tremendous awe and admiration for the self-sacrifice of the first AAers. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. So my, in comparison, my effort seems minuscule, but I don't want to go out again because I'm comparing myself to others and feeling inadequate, which is also just another manifestation of self-centeredness. So those lines don't scare me anymore, because it's not about measuring up to someone else. It's just about showing up the best, to the best of my ability, to do God's will, even if it's just a smile. That's also a service. And so have a wonderful day, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Rivka R. Okay, Sarah T, followed by Nicole F. Just real quickly, folks, if you came in a little late, we are on page 97 on the first paragraph. Never avoid these responsibilities, going through that one paragraph only. Okay, Sarah, your turn. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Sarah T. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, compulsive overeater. I'm actually relatively new to this meeting, not new to OA, but I wanted to say hi. I actually haven't shared on the recorded line yet. So really grateful to be here and for all the amazing things that you guys share. I already love this meeting and I'm here every day. I'm not really sure. There have been so many great shares already. I'm not really sure how much I can add. But what was coming to mind as we read this is I'm so grateful that this is not the first thing I read when I came into recovery, because I would have run. You know, because I really did think that service was going to cost me a pound of flesh, and I wasn't willing to give it. And I have found, very gratefully, as so many others have shared, that service is kind of the magic bullet to keep me in the middle of the road in my recovery. And I love dearly sponsoring people and taking women through the steps today. And, you know, and I was also thinking, you know, as many others have shared, you know, service has not been so dramatic in my recovery and in my experience. But there have been times where answering the phone feels as dramatic as, oh my gosh, someone's lighting my furniture on fire. I just really don't want to pick up. And so I've struggled with that and my own extreme selfishness. And I'm grateful to have heard other people on the line admit that too, and to know that I'm not alone. And what I will also say, kind of on the other side of things, is, you know, I'm always willing at this point to be of service to the best of my ability. And I do trust God to tell me, you know, I've heard many times in the rooms that this program is not for people who want it. It's not for people who need it. It's for people who do the work and are willing to do the work. And my experience is when people first come in, they may not be willing to do the work yet. And so I have to be open and follow my higher power's guidance on, you know, how to help them. And I've had the experience of, you know, my husband is also in recovery, thank God. We're both in multiple programs. And, you know, between the two of us, you know, dinner's often delayed and, you know, all these things. And there was someone in our mutual program, actually in this program, where we really were like, you know, we had an extra microwave and we're like, this person potentially needs this. And, you know, we agreed that was great service and we took it. And very quickly it became clear that that person did not want recovery. They wanted handouts. And it became, you know, a real drain on our relationship. And this person just caused nothing but chaos and was not seeking recovery. And so I don't feel like that's what my higher power wants from me. And so I just am so grateful to be here. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah T. from Louisville, Kentucky. Nicole F., you're up, and then we're going to take some more names. So get ready. Go ahead, Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy, for your service. This is Nicole S. from Colorado. And this is just such a great paragraph for me. I am so selfish, and honestly, I have a much easier time giving of my money, sharing my money than my time. When someone inconveniences me and I have to give up my time, that's what is really hard for me. And this picture that they painted here, you know, it shows me, wow, they gave a lot of their time. And they were willing to go to, you know, police court, sanitariums, hospitals, jails, asylums, and people live in their homes and go to any lengths. And so it's just such a good reminder for me that if I want to stay recovered, I need to give my time, and it's so hard for me. And I love where it starts, never avoid these responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. So if I'm seeking God and being led by God of who I should help and who he really, you know, and I'm sure of I'm doing the right thing. And then it says never avoid those responsibilities. And so I'm never means never. So I take on those responsibilities, and it is a responsibility for me, you know, to pass this message, to give of my time to help those, and not having a A plus B equals C formula, but each individual letting God direct me and what that looks like. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole F. from Colorado. Is it F as in Frank or F as in Sam?
It's F as in Sam.
Okay, F as in Sam. All right, great, from Colorado. So we have that right for the contact list. Okay, so we are going to take some names. We're on page 97, first paragraph. Who else would like to share on what was read?
Jane S. in New Hampshire.
Rachel B.
Elena C.
Elena P. Somebody M.
Donna M.
Donna
S.
Okay. Donna M. Wait, hold on. I've got Jane F. Elena P. Is it Elena P. Donna M. That's all I got. Who else I missed?
Lynn S.
Rachel B.
C.
Rachel. And there was one other person I missed. Who was that?
Nancy C.
Nancy. There we go. Nancy. You're probably like, I'll never hear me. Okay, got it. So I think we got a good group to go here. And then we'll see who we have left. I've got Jane F., Alana P., Donna M., Lynn F., Rachel, I think, and Nancy C.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You're not saying everybody's state or country where they're from, so we could find it on the website. Please do that.
Yes. I just realized that last couple of shares, so I beg your pardon. I'll make sure I'll do that from here on out. Okay, Jane, please go ahead. You're up.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jane S. is in Sparks, and I hail from New Hampshire. And I'm very grateful to say that I'm recovered from the obsession of food compulsion and my food addiction. It's a beautiful thing. God has made a transformation in me that I didn't see coming. So I'm very grateful to be here, grateful for everyone's share. It's an amazing, amazing meeting this morning. I'm hearing everything I need to hear, as usual, when my ears are open and I'm listening hard. Thank you for everyone's service. And so what came to mind... I'm actually out for a walk, which is new for me. So I don't have the book in front of me, but all that keeps ringing in my head is self-sacrifice, self-sacrifice. And meaning I have to get out of myself. And so for me, in my early recovery this time around, when I started the steps last July, my sponsor suggested to me that I find a way to be of self-sacrifice on a daily basis. And I just didn't really understand. I thought, well, if I go donate some things or if I do this or that. And then I called my grand sponsor just to say hello. And she said to me, what have you done to be self-sacrificial today? And I said, Well, I made some phone calls and I was reminded that that's not enough. And that I need to do something that's, you know, inconvenient for me, that I need to give up my time, or my convenience. And, I realized today, you know, 10 months or so into this time around in a recovered state of mind, how important it is to be self-sacrificial and to work with others and to listen and to take those phone calls when I don't want to take the phone calls, when I would rather be doing something else, or to make the phone calls, or to work with a sponsee. That's the main thing. And, you know, so that person suggested to me on that day when I was laying on the couch and I actually had COVID and I couldn't go out and do anything. And she said, well, is there a family member or someone in your family that you can call, an elderly parent or something? Well, my parents are gone, but I ended up picking up the phone that day to my ex-mother-in-law to find out that she was suffering from a form of cancer. And, you know, we had this long talk and it basically rekindled our friendship over the years, from over the years. And it's just like, it just amazes me how, when I listen to other people and what they have to share, how God speaks through everyone and how I can actually find new ways to be self-sacrificing. But I'll tell you what, when my sponsee calls and says she's ready for the next assignment or to move on or to get together, it just makes my day. And I make a way to pave that wherever I can on that day. And then just when others call or I call and we just help each other walk through this fellowship, it gets me out of myself. And it's just so refreshing. And I am just very grateful for this program and especially for this meeting. You are my family. You are my life, and my direct path to my higher power. Thank you for that. Thanks for letting me share.
Perfect.
I pass.
Thank you, Jane S. in New Hampshire. Perfect timing. Alana, you are up, followed by Donna M. Go ahead, Alana.
Good morning. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, and recovered for today. My first thought when I read this paragraph is, I'm not sure if I'm going to do this. It just sounds too hard. And it is hard. And I guess the idea here is that back then, they really depended upon helping others, their sobriety depending upon helping others. They needed a lot of them to recover for them to stay sober. So it was about the development of the AA community. I'm not sure if these extremes happen today, but certainly I would be willing to let someone share my home. And I also need, in a state of recovery, I have boundaries. I would gather my understanding. I'm going to let God guide me with what are the boundaries that I need to put into place so then I don't enable. And boundaries are for me not to do or not to do, not necessarily for the other person. So, but it really talks about altruism. And altruism is the act of giving without any expectation. And I, in a state of non-recovery, it was hard for me to practice altruism. I was like, and I did give money to my family members, but I gave money and I really thought that they are going to like me. So I gave money, and then I'm going to be liked. And that didn't happen, you know, and then I got resentful. But in a state of recovery, altruism is truly a genuine desire to help other people without expecting anything in return. And I can do that today. I really can. I'm just helping you, just to help you. And this is when I'm in conscious contact with my higher power. And because it doesn't matter what other people provides back, it matters that God provides. God keeps me in a state of recovery when I practice altruism, because if God knows my needs and wants, and it's very, very good to be part of this community. You mean so much to me. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena P. from South Carolina. Donna M., you're followed up by Lynn F. Please go ahead, Donna.
Good morning. I'm Donna M. from near Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And the sentence that spoke to me was, your wife may sometimes say she is neglected. And this brings to mind another sentence that talks about the importance of keeping our family obligations. So God helps me today to balance service and working with others with my family obligations. And sometimes my husband does say that he feels neglected, and I need to take that to my higher power. And Sunday was a good example of that. We had been invited out, and it was one of my regular meetings. It was an impromptu invite. And initially I had said no, my husband would go on his own. But then I reflected on that and asked God for help. And God says, no, you go with your husband. And I did. But today I'm grateful to know that I am of service to others in program. I am working with others and making myself available. And sometimes I have to explain to my husband that we're about to do something, but there's an obligation that I have, a new prospect that's going to call. So he understands the importance of me working with others, but I do need to ask God for help. So I'm meeting my family obligations as well. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Don Ann from Toronto, Canada. Lynn F., you're up, followed by Rachel.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Vision. Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. This line is jumping out at me. Your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Not mine. Got mine on Do Not Disturb. Because I can't stand yet again another one of those OA phone calls. And the Do Not Disturb was, leave me alone. Jeez. You know, and then I was in Akron one year, and this gentleman was speaking, and he was talking about how much do you owe AA, how much do you owe OA, and I was thinking about that, and then he spoke about Bill, said, you know, it's June, May, June, whatever month it was, and he's walking from the Mayflower Hotel to the gatehouse to meet Henrietta Cyberling. And it's hot, and he's wearing a suit and a hat. And he walks down all those blocks, and he talks to her. And I started to sob, and I thought, what if she hadn't picked up the phone? We would be nowhere, absolutely nowhere. And I sat there, and I was just sobbing, thinking about that. The gentleman who spoke actually saw me afterwards, and he said, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm not. That rocked me so much. And when I went to the gatehouse, they finally had opened it up for us to go. The only thing I wanted to see was that phone, that old black rotary dial phone. And just thinking, what if she hadn't picked up that phone? And I'll tell you, sometimes I do get into that do not disturb mode, and then I look at it and say, no, how much do I owe everybody who picked up the phone for me? And I don't even like to say how much do I owe God, because it's not that, but it's the devotion to this incredible way of life that God has gifted us all. It's all right here. What do you have to do, Lynn? What do you get to do, Lynn? How about that? What do you get to do? You get to pick up the phone. You get to help somebody else. You get to get help from others. It's our spiritual alignment, step five, God, myself, and what? Another human being? And I found I need about a billion of them. And I'm so grateful that this line is there today, and I have this memory to remind me the do not disturb button is not for me. Disturb me. Thank you, God, for this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing, F from Toronto, Canada. Rachel, you're up. Can I get the initial of your last name, too, please? Followed by name.
Sure. Sure. Rachel B. from Ohio, B as in boy. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and so just overcome by the gift of being able to respond to the invitations that come my way. It's phrased in this paragraph as never avoid these responsibilities, so it's a requirement, but it's also a benefit that I can respond if responsibilities would be something that I could be responsible to, meaning able to respond. And before I was recovered, before I got to step 12, I was not able to respond to the different invitations that came my way. I couldn't weigh in my own mind. I spent a lot of time in my mind trying to figure out what I was responsible for and what I could avoid and what I could get off my plate and what I could, like, you know, finish quickly so that it would get off my back, similar to how I would do the food. Like, I would constantly weigh in my mind, never on the scale, but like, how much can I have of that? And if I do this much activity, how much will I have earned? And how much can I, if it's talking to me too loudly and I want to get rid of it, I might eat it away. I might throw it away. I wasn't able to respond with a free gift of myself. But now that I'm recovered and have been abstinent for almost 2 years, it's I'm able to respond. I'm able to show up. I have this freedom where I can give of myself or not. And I can say no. It's the freedom that I don't have to say yes to every impulse that comes my way or every compulsion or everything pushing on me. That used to not be an invitation. It used to be just a push or a pull. But now I actually can respond to invitations because there's a freedom in me that doesn't have to be compelled or respond to all the urgency that just used to shout in my mind. Now I have the gift of this pause that I can turn my hands up and wait for God to speak. And I can actually hear. I am respondable, and I just can't. I'm just sitting here feeling so grateful for that ability to show up today. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rachel Lee from Ohio. Now we're going to wrap up with Nancy C. You're going to take us out. Please go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, family. Nancy C. Gratefully recovered in Ann Arbor, Michigan this morning. And boy, what an awesome meeting. I really don't have anything to add except for I'm one of those old people and I know what a jangle sounds like. Not many people know that these days. The other thing is, though, I'm sitting here in just awe and wonder on how God has rearranged my heart. And it's as a result of doing these steps, right? When I came in, I just wanted to stop eating. I wanted the relief, and there was nothing that was going to do it for me. But somebody who answered the jangle helped me through these steps and walked me through one after another in the order that they're in the book to get to the point where this is something that I look forward to doing every day and to share in seeing other people start getting it and seeing that rearrangement of their soul becoming other center rather than God center is indeed miraculous. You know, I'm going to wrap up just with, I sometimes go through hard times and I don't know why there's that spiritual wasteland, but then I see that my experience can benefit others and I can be useful to other people. I had two very dear friends yesterday who had absolutely amazing miracles happen to them. And seeing how they went through that whole transformation of themselves is what this program is indeed about. It never would have happened if they weren't recovered and if we didn't trudge together and help each other out. So I'll answer the jangle when it comes. It's more of the vibrator now, but it is something that I freely give, and that's only because God gives me that reprieve that I do stay connected so I'm close and protected. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you, Nancy. Can you give me your state again? I'm spacing here.
The great state of Michigan.
Which state are you? Michigan. I was thinking Massachusetts. No, Michigan. Okay. Thank you so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. And thank you for taking us out. Perfect timing. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. Thanks for Team Tuesday service. Please join us for another second awesome unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, which is Tuesday, May 13, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. The number is 22,426. That's 22426. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elena P. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, Ilana P., recovered compulsive overeater from Pittsburgh. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until